I hope everybody remembers what I preached a bit about a couple of weeks back. Do you? I hope you read up all about it. Yeah. You didn't. You have to go and stand in the corner. Well, I thought I'd try to expand a little bit on that, what I tried to do. In Scripture, there's a lot of types, and just go through some of them that are, the more common ones anyway. Well, the easiest one probably to understand is the story about Joseph. We've had a lot of sermons from there, from some bloke over there with glasses on, and he did a very good job too. But it's very much like a type of Jesus, isn't it? If you've ever read it, story. So I want to try and show you some of the parallels of that, so that all Scripture is the same. What's that verse that says all Scripture is profitable for teaching, correction, and righteousness. Yes, all Scripture. So here we go. If you know the story of Joseph, well, I hope you do, because you need to read it through. It's a really good thing. And he's a type of Jesus. For a start, he was loved of his father. And Jesus was loved by his father. He was God's only begotten son. And all Israel loved Joseph. You know, he put a coat on him and he treated him like a prince. And that was a bit of a thorn in the side of his brothers. And his father sent him out to see how his brothers fared. And they didn't receive him too good. But Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. And then there's this thing about 30 pieces of silver. Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was betrayed for 20. And that's something to do with the numerical thing that runs all the way through Scripture. Jesus was 3 years ministry, wasn't he? And he was 33 when he died. And everything about... That's God's number, about three. I know that nine is God's perfection, three times three. And that's all the way through Scripture. So it's impossible for that book to be of not right, because it's that thing goes all the way through it. But Joseph was betrayed for 20 pieces of silver. And they sold him to some people, traders, and he went down to Egypt as a slave. And he was there for quite a number of years, two years or something, before he got out of the jail. And that's what Jesus did. He came as a servant. Joseph was an interpreter of dreams. And Jesus was telling the future too, right up until now, through Revelation. He was wrongly accused of a sin, and Jesus was falsely accused as well. He was in prison for about 2 years or something, and Jesus he went into the dungeon after that, didn't he? And Jesus went into hell for 3 days for us. And then he rose to be the second in all the land. And Jesus was the same, as that he rose to be seated at God's right hand. And then after that, Joseph's brothers came down, didn't they? And he received them and he forgave them. And Jesus does the same, he forgives us. And Joseph brought about a great deliverance. And God is about a big deliverance of his people. Joseph moved people into the cities, and we are going to be in a city, aren't we? One day that it's full of light beams and its streets are lined with gold. Yes. All right, well, I wanted to look at another type, which is in Genesis 12, starts in 11. And it's about the call of Abraham. That's a parallel to the call of the Christian. And let's just read a little bit of it. I'll leave the rest up to you because it's a big story. It goes for quite a while through several chapters here. And Terah was a bloke that was Abram's father. And Terah took Abram and his son and Lot and son... say it again. And Terah took Abraham his son and Lot the son of Haran his son's son... and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son, which is Abram's wife, and they went forth from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran, and they dwelt in Haran. So when you look at these sort of things, all these Old Testament stories have got a meaning behind them all. And when I discovered it, was like really light come on. Haran, the name for what it means is old man. And while they were there, Terah died. And that's a bit like a Christian, you see. God is calling us out of the world. He's called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, which was a wicked sort of a place, I believe. And God said, come out of it, get away from it, and I'll take you to a land where I'll show you. And he is doing the same to a Christian. He calls us out of the wickedness of the things of the world. Come out and be separate, he says. Not that we're supposed to be like the seventh, or the, what do you call that, the brethren who are separate from everybody else, because we're in the world. But it means that to come out from those things in the world that are wicked. So they were living in Haran, which means old man. And there the old man died. And that's what's got to happen to the Christian. He comes, the old man amongst us, or our old way of life, I mean, has got to die. And it talks about it in Scripture, doesn't it? I think it's somewhere in Colossians, somewhere. Put to death the old man. And Christians run into a lot of trouble with that sometimes because they get into things that they shouldn't do. And it really was the problem is the old man is not dead and he keeps rising up and causing trouble. So we've got to put the old man to death. And anyway, they went from there to a place called Shechem, moving westward to the land where the Canaanites were there. And God appeared to him there, and yes, it was probably not in that place, it was just after that. But God appeared to him and said, I am the God of your fathers and whatever, and I am your exceeding great reward. You know, we have to realise that as Christians too. We have an exceeding great reward. God has given us everything. We, you know, the people of the world have got death coming up. We've got forever. And we've got, it says that in there, that the scripture, that we haven't even entered into our brain yet what God has prepared for them that love him. And so we have an exceeding great reward. I don't think half the people realise anything near what God has got for us. He is our exceeding great reward. So they went to Shechem, and Shechem means shoulder. And this is the time in the Christian's life, I believe, where we are meant to shoulder our responsibilities. You become a Christian, all right, but you just don't sit around doing nothing. God wants you to do stuff. He wants you to be to have good works and to love one another and all that sort of thing. So we are meant to shoulder our responsibilities. And it says there that Abram built an altar, and then he moved from there to a place called Bethel, and he pitched his tent between Bethel and Ai. What does Bethel mean? It's the house of God. And what's Ai? It's a ruin. And here we see him put his tent between the two, and so therefore he's neither one nor the other. And this is what God talks about in, you know, for a Christian. Don't be lukewarm. You've either got to be full on for God, or you've got to be, you're better off out. And he says it's better off that way. It's better if you're not a Christian, he can still convert you. But if you're lukewarm and sitting in the middle, he spits you out of your mouth, out of his mouth. So from there he went along to the plain of Moreh, and then there came a I think that's out somewhere where towards Beersheba. And then he went south to Egypt because there was a drought in the land. And this is a bit of a funny thing there. It says in the book that when Abram was called out, he was 75 years old. And if you think about it, that Sarah had a baby when she was 90, and Abraham was 100, so she was 10 years younger. And I always tell Barb about that, but she doesn't seem to be very impressed at all. I don't know why. You can't understand women, can you? Anyway, when he went down to Egypt, the king took a fancy to his wife because he told lies about her. He told them that she was his sister, which it was in a way, but he told lies, and so he got into trouble down there. And eventually, when it was woke up, what was going on? The Pharaoh, he was a God-fearing man in those days too. We don't seem to understand that, but Pharaoh was a man of God. And when he woke up, what was going on, he sent Abraham out. So Abraham went back to where he'd come from, went right back to Bethel, where he started and built an altar at the first. And when we get into trouble, that's what we got to do as Christians, is go right back to the foot of the cross, where it started, and go again. Yes. And that's an interesting place. Bethel was a house of God. I think it's where the temple was built later on. Is that right? I think so. Those days, Jerusalem wasn't there. And it's also the place where Jacob's ladder was. You heard of the story of Jacob's ladder? He was fleeing from his brother, and he came to this place. There was a ladder going up to heaven he dreamed about. And he put up this stone of destiny they talk about. And he said, this is the house of God. And I didn't know it. All these old things fit together. There's a pattern in them. And it's marvellous when you can understand it all. Yeah. Yeah, Ai was talked about in the thing too, that Ai was a place where Israel was defeated. Remember when they went in their promised land? They come to this place and they thought, oh, this little town, I've seen, we can send out half a dozen people and knock them on the head. And there was a big, the men of Ai come out and killed a whole lot of them, and it wasn't real good. Yeah, so that's a thing. And then it talks about, years happened in between. There's this funny thing about, isn't it, the scripture. Abraham had this son of promise, and he was 100 when that happened. So 25 years has happened in all this little story. But it talked about Abraham and Lot. Abraham was enormously wealthy. He had, says in it, camels and goats and men servants and maid servants and lots of money. And Lot did too. Lot had enormous amount, and the land was so overrun with stuff that they decided to part because they couldn't. The land wouldn't suit them. So Lot, Abraham talked about it with Lot, and he said, "You choose where you want to go, and I'll go in the opposite direction." And this is the thing about it: Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And you know what happened then too, don't you? God went and destroyed Sodom, and Lot got out of it with absolutely nothing except his daughters. He lost a lot. And we can do the same if we pitch our tent towards Sodom. Do you know what that means? If we go the way of the world if we go the way of the world, you get finished up with nothing. We have Jesus. We have wealth to the extreme when you think about it. And that was what I really wanted to say too. So all of these patterns and stuff in the Bible, they seem to be at first just a story. But they're not. They got so much in them. And when you read the Word of God, look for that and ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what that's all about. A lot of it's lost, I suppose, because of our translation. But look up what the places mean. They've all got a story.